Trust is a valuable thing, but can we agree that trust depends on what we expect, doesn't it? What are you looking for? What are you depending on? Does the video help to demonstrate also that trust depends on the commitment of others? Yeah. In one of those videos, the very distant one, the guy walks onto the scene. He goes, "Hey, purple shorts, I trust you." And he turns around and he falls back. And the guy's across the distance and he goes, "Mate, what are you up to?" You know. Can you turn in the book of Acts, and we've been in Acts chapter 14, but I wanted to look at that because it talks about this idea of faith and what I think is sometimes misplaced faith or expectations of something that isn't happening. And we'll say, "Yes, I'll depend on you to do what I want," in situations where it isn't happening. That was the idea behind the videos. But if you look at Acts chapter 14, up through Palm Sunday, we got to verse 7. So looking at verse 8 this morning, it says, in the context of the narrative, "Now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked." Now, I want to just stop there. Please picture with me, these legs have never walked. This is not an injury. This is someone through the course of their life who has never put the weight on those legs and got from here to there. It's not merely a, sometimes in children's ministry, right, you'll see flat person in a bed and you'll see standy-uppy person in the next scene. But you need to, in your mind, get a sense of the atrophy, the not formed muscles of a leg that has never walked from his mother's womb in order to have the import of the significance of a miracle like this. So just that, and then in verse 9, he listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. So there you have a section of scripture, you have something that happens. Now in my life, I think I read the book of Acts at more of a bigger clip of words. I think I tend to say, maybe I'll read chapter 14 today, you know? And then there we were on Palm Sunday, verses 1 to 7, and here we are, and we're looking at 8, 9, and 10, three verses. But look at how laden with significant questions, theologically challenging ideas that the scripture has for us there, we see God miraculously healing a man by the hand of Paul. And if you notice the phrase in verse 9, the phrase, "seeing that he had faith to be made well," that could just breeze right on by. We could miss that entirely. We have to stop and look at that phrase. What does that mean? First of all, what is faith? And second of all, what does it look like? What does it look like? In your mind's eye, is there an expression on his face? Is there an inclination of his body in the picture? Is it a laying down person, or is it a person up as much as they can be up, as much as they can get to where they want to be? What does it look like for Paul to see that he had faith to be made well? And is it even entirely limited to ocular perception? We've talked about this in the Bible study in the back on fortnightly on a Tuesday morning. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened. Now, in the guts of me, there's not a visual thing going on, but there is something, isn't there? There's perception and knowing in the heart, and there is, and God uses the metaphor of seeing and light making obvious. These are the things going on. Paul perceives in this man faith to be made well. So, but what do you do with that? How do you say, well, what does that look like? And then what I'd like to do first is take us to Hebrews chapter 11. So you're in the book of Acts, and if you go a quarter of an inch over, you find the book of Hebrews. If you get into the names of guys, right, James, John, you've gone a little bit too far. Peter, James, and John is too far. Hebrews comes just before James. And chapter 11, it's a familiar, it's a quotable. It's kind of like the kind, it's the kind of verse that makes it into Christian calendars sometimes. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we have the question of what is faith, I think, answered to some extent, or at least we get more information about faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for." Okay, assurance. So fingers crossed, that's not faith. Fingers crossed, that's not faith. It's the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. I know it's there. I'm breathing air. I know it's there. But it's not seen. For by it, by faith, people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Critical stuff. My kids go to school, and school tells them information about the world. School tells a narrative that is different than the biblical narrative. And it, once in a while, I coach my kids on how to challenge what's told to them about what you ought to believe, because everybody who has right thinking believes these things. And so, you know, we just talk about things. I make jokes to my kids. I believe in the Big Bang. God spoke and bang, it happened. You know, the Big Bang was a theory that was developed by a Roman Catholic priest who initially was not accepted because all the scientists said, Big Bang, and we know what you're going to do. What you're going to do is you're going to end up saying, and God started the bang. So they didn't accept what Lemaître said about the Big Bang until Einstein put his arms around him and said, this guy, he's working with my equations. I think he's got something here, and you'll find that he's right. And at that point, he was taken on board. Now we talk about Big Bang like it's the obliterating fact of science that gets rid of faith, and that's not realistic. You see here that everything that is made, that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So I tell my older son, who gets challenged in science once in a while, when they say Big Bang, raise your hand and ask a question, what banged? Clouds of gases exploded, and you say, where did the clouds of gases come from? And so science has no answer. You can go to the before, but eventually they're imagining before. And here in Scripture, we have a description of before. So they're both actually positions of faith. The scientific interpretation of data we all rely on. People find facts, and facts point to truth. But looking at facts and deciding how they fit together and what the story is, that's interpretive. We have faith that what God has spoken is true. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Because God made promises and kept them. I trust his version of it. But it doesn't preclude science. Science is discovering how God did it. But people who don't like God interpret the meaning of the facts in ways that they want to go. They have their faith positions. There is belief and faith involved, even in the scientific claim that there is no God. It was all by accident. It's a faith position. That's what I find in the Scripture when I read, by faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God. Why? Because he told me in his Bible. That's how I know. And science is discovering it.